have your window into the future of spirituality. We're going to talk to you about your life and the evolution of your soul while we bring alive the essence of eternal truth. So here is your host, the author of You Are What You Love, Vaishali.
And welcome to another exciting episode of You Are What You Love. And I'm Vaishali, the wild child of the airwaves, your spiritual hostess with the wild woman mostess, the Beyond Karma queen of radio and literature. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. As you know, I'm the author of the book, You Are What You Love. And I am so thrilled to share with you that my new book, Wisdom Rising, has just been released. And you can purchase it by going to Amazon.com. You can purchase it by going to Barnes & Noble or Borders or any of your favorite bookstores and saying, I want Wisdom Rising by the Wild Woman. And if they don't have it in stock, I know that they would be happy to order it for you. And you're welcome to join me in the chat room. I'm online, live online in the chat room. You can come to my website, which is purple, like the color purple, because I got a thing for that color. Purple V is in Violet, V is in Vaishali, purplev.com, and in the lower right-hand corner, you'll see a little button that says VChat. Click on that, and it'll allow you to sign up and come into my chat room. It is the most beautiful purple website and the most beautiful purple chat room in all of internet land. And if you would like to call in and ask the Wild Woman a question, you are more than welcome to do so. And the toll-free number here into the studio this evening is 877-520-1150. Again, the toll-free number to talk to the Wild Woman this evening is 877-520-1150. I want to remind you all, in addition to being the author of You Are What You Love and Wisdom Rising, I'm also here to field any questions that you have of a spiritual nature. I'm not a medical intuitive. I don't offer medical or legal advice. But if you had a question about your interior world, I am more than happy to talk with you about that. Or perhaps you had a philosophical spiritual question. In the light of the recent activities of this week, there might be quite a bit stirring on your plate that you would like to talk about. Again, pick up the phone and call 877-520-1150. Join me online in my chat room at purplev.com. And when you come to purplev.com, you can click on Vaishali's favorite links. And from there, it'll take you to youtube.com, where there's a number of my videos. You can see the flash animation trailer for Longinus, Book 1 of The Merlin Factor. It's in a whole minute and a half, so it won't taxi your day too much. But it is absolutely the most stunningly brilliant flash animation video. You are not going to want to miss that. Come to purplev.com, click on Vaishali's favorite links, or go to the community pull-down menu, and there you can subscribe to my email. And once a week, I send out an email that lets you know about my other radio shows, because I have other radio shows. I have a Friday interview radio show where I interview lots of very interesting people. Or you can go to purplev.com and click on the Listening Lounge, and you can download any of my shows for free. And talking about what's been happening in light of the recent activities of this week, today is a particularly good day for me because I heard from my sweetheart, and he happens to live in Galveston, and he was on Galveston Island. And I was talking to Phil, my producer. Are you there, Phil?
I am. Can you hear me?
I'm so thrilled to share you with the audience, Phil, because you are such a delight. And Phil, you know, you and I were talking before the show about hurricanes.
Yeah, that's right. I've been through many hurricanes, and actually through the eye more than once.
This is fascinating because, let's face it, there are not a lot of people, especially on the West Coast in L.A., that can say, yeah, they've ridden out a hurricane, let alone been in the eye of the hurricane. How many times have you been in the eye?
Two times for sure. And I think there, it's been more where it was only part of the eye. There's only been two times where I've been like dead center in the middle of it. Watch, you know, as the back half of the hurricane comes up on you. It's a very, very spooky thing, but fun in a weird way.
And how long were you in the eye?
One time it lasted probably about 20 minutes. And then another time it was It was probably more like a half hour. I mean, when they move slowly, you've got some time. And usually what happens is people will go out and kind of check their property. And some people, we actually found that during one eye of the hurricane, which is not very bright, we went out and found a cafe that was still open, like a little restaurant, and got some food and brought it back to the house. And then we got hit with the second half of it. So it's really stupid, because that's where a lot of the real fatalities happen, are when you're out there and you're checking power, making sure there's no power lines, or and everything's everywhere and you don't know exactly what you're doing, and that's usually when people get hurt.
Well, I want to congratulate you on your good timing. One of the things that you and I were talking about is that not only did I hear from my sweetheart, but this particular storm, Ike, and I keep telling everybody, thank God it wasn't Ike Turner, is that this particular hurricane, Ike, had a huge eye. It was 75 miles in diameter.
That's amazing.
Isn't it?
That's really, especially for a slow-moving storm. Like what did he experience the eye?
He did. As a matter of fact, he told me he got up at 1 in the morning and got on his bike and rode around Galveston Island because he wanted to check it out during the eye and see what was going on. And I was thinking, when he was telling me this, he's a very adventuresome guy, but I was also thinking, how many people can say they've been in the eye? And then you told me, I've done it a bunch of times.
Yeah. That's pretty ridiculous. I know.
No, I think it's, I think is fascinating, Phil, is that my favorite mystic, you've heard me refer to him as my boyfriend,
yeah,
Emanuel
sure.
Swedenborg, the 18th century Swedish mystic. He and Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine and Taoism and Buddhism and a lot of other spiritual traditions say that everything in the outer world exists because it corresponds to an inner reality. And if there wasn't an inner reality that it corresponded to, it simply couldn't exist in the outer world.
Hmm.
And what this means is that there's an inner world eye of the hurricane.
Right.
And, when you told me that you had been in the eye of the hurricane, my thought was, Phil is such a hot babe. I'm not surprised that there's a whole bunch of things swirling around him because he's a hot babe. But it's very interesting because really, describe for people, if you would, Phil, what the eye is for people who aren't familiar, who are West Coasters that aren't familiar with this Eastern hurricane speak.
Sure. It's the center of the hurricane that it's where the hurricane starts initially, and then it spins out and becomes a hurricane, but it leaves a sort of vacuum in the center where it's basically peaceful. It's very, very quiet weather. And what happens is when you're going through it, you're getting a lot of blasts from the hurricane. You get all these feeder bands, and then the worst part of the hurricane, and then all of a sudden it's like the sun comes out for however long, and you have this calm sort of very in a way it is spiritual, because it's just out of nowhere, and it takes you to a completely different place mentally, and you almost feel like you're safe. And then you get hit by the back end of the storm, which is actually the worst part of the storm. So that's sort of what you go through when you go through the eye.
I'm so glad I asked you to describe it, because I wouldn't have nearly have done it the poetic justice that you did. But this is really a metaphor for the human experience. And what we want to be is centered in the eye of the storm, because let's face it, between CNN and the Home Shopping Network and Al-Qaeda and the Kramer guy that's talking about money and whatever other blood pressure raising adjectives and events out there that you can imagine, there's this whirl of activity. There's this frenzy of worry, insecurity, fear that dislodges everything and just creates this upheaval in our life and takes any benign thing and throws it around and makes it a missile in our life. And our job is to remain that center that is peaceful, that is calm. And I love the way that you articulated this, Phil, to be the center that allows the daylight to come through amidst the storm, undisturbed, centered, without agitation? Does it mean that there isn't a storm in front of you, in back of you, to the left, to the right? Of course not. I mean, the world is going to rage on, and it has free will to do that. But you have free will, too, to be that center that is calm, that is not agitated, that everything else whirls around, but it doesn't touch. And I'm not surprised that you experienced more than one, because to tell you the truth, darling, that's a perfect metaphor for you. No matter how much activity is going on at the station, no matter what technical problems, phone problems, whatever, you are like the center of the hurricane. You're always calm. You're always clear. You know, whatever light you need to see where we need to go, it never fails to penetrate your world and show you what to do. So I'm not surprised, but other than yourself, since you've moved to the West Coast, have you encountered anyone else who has been in a hurricane? Or I can't imagine, other than the people that you went through this experience, that you know any other people who've been through the eye before.
Yeah, I don't know about the eye, but yeah, I still have friends in Florida that have gone through it since I've left. And it's, you know, it's a terrifying experience. You know, especially this one friend of mine who literally her insides tighten up for 3 or 4 days before the hurricane, and then are like that until 2 days after the hurricane. And I'm always trying to tell her, listen, it's going to happen anyway. You just need to kind of do what you need to do to prepare for it and then experience it while it happens. But don't, you know, let it sort of rule your whole life for that amount of time. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And do you ever reflect back on this time? Especially, I love the story about going out and getting takeout food and bringing it back.
Yeah.
You're so incredible, Phil. Do you ever reflect back on that and see that as kind of poignant or metaphorical in your own life?
I'm not sure if I think it's metaphorical or just stupid, because there were, I mean, I had
don't
a
don't sugarcoat it, honey. Give
well,
it to me straight.
Yeah, I had a few close calls with hurricanes where I could have, like, there was one, I don't know if you know the bar, the Elbow Room in South Florida, it's right on Fort Lauderdale Beach. And there was a party that they were having, a hurricane party. You've heard of those where people go out and they have this big blast and watch the hurricane come in. And I was supposed to be at it, and I didn't, for whatever reason, and they ended up having a tornado go right through the bar and sent a few people. Luckily, nobody died, but it sent a few people into the hospital that were at this party. So that was, and I was supposed to be there. And when I was a kid, I had a hurricane come over of all places, New York, Long Island, and drop a tree right above the room I was staying in that got caught by power lines. And I woke up to this massive tree overlooking the room that I would have been crushed in. I mean, weird stuff like that. I'm not sure that me going out during the eye of the hurricane to get food is just me being kind of reckless, or that it is this sort of spiritual thing for me. I don't know. I can't decide.
I think it's probably a combination of your learning curve. And that the fact that your inner world was being reflected in your outer world reality, right down to the fact that you're not being at the bar. And I think a lot of people, especially from the West Coast, because I was born and raised in Southern California. My favorite joke about that is, although I'm a nice person anyway, growing up in Southern California, you don't know anything about hurricanes other than what you see on the Weather Channel. And whatever Jim Cantore tells you. And it's a very different experience when you're out here and you have direct relationship with them. Having grown up in Southern California, I went through massive earthquakes. I can't tell you how many earthquakes I was in. I was in the 1970 big earthquake. I was in the 89 San Francisco earthquake. Numerous earthquakes in between. I lived in Berkeley when there was this huge Berkeley fire that was followed by some mass freezing that created a bunch of flooding. A bunch of pipes burst and flooded the town. And so I feel like I've been through some really interesting adventures, only to come out here to get hurricanes. And I definitely find that your inner world is reflected in how you experience that outer world agitation. And for a lot of people in Florida, I've noticed that their experience of the hurricanes is a lot more traumatic than mine. We live in the same town, with the same community. We're going through the same wind velocity. But for me, it's not as big a deal as it is for them, because they're already matching the velocity of the outer winds with their worry. In Chinese and Ayurvedic medicine, worry, when you worry or you criticize yourself or you're insecure about your value and your power and your worth, that creates a high and low pressure zone within your body that creates winds in the same way that a high and low pressure zone in the outer world creates winds. And I don't think a lot of people on the West Coast understand that when you have a hurricane, you have these tornadoes that touch down and come with it.
Yeah, that's right.
And so when you're talking about there was a hurricane warning, but this tornado touched down, that's all part and parcel. You get this huge spinning hurricane that also creates these little mini spinning things that take off and create their own little tornadoes that touch down.
That's right. Yeah, and that's actually the most dangerous part.
And that can happen anywhere that there's a hurricane moving through.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really interesting that your life and the flow of your life, and from what I know about you, I'm not surprised that in the midst of what the rest of the world was experiencing as this worry frenzy, that you were able to go out and get what nurtures you and sustains you and come back and brace yourself where the rest of the world goes through its tailspin, because that's what I know about you. That so perfectly defines you. And I'm not surprised also that when it comes time to, in the bigger picture of destiny, scheduling a tornado, your higher self would look at your schedule and say, sorry, not available, just won't be there.
I like that interpretation much better, actually.
But that's what I know about you. Mm. And most people don't understand is that the outer world and the inner world mirror each other perfectly. And I know that you folks in Southern California have really had a very trying time this week.
Yeah.
With the train crash.
Mm-hmm.
So for people who haven't heard about it or people who are listening online that are in another part of the country, would you update people, sweetheart, with what happened with this train crash in Southern California?
Yeah, there was a train going out to Chatsworth, a metro train that collided with another one. And that other train actually went through, it was like a head-on collision, knocked the front car off, knocked the engine off the tracks, and went right through the second car where all the passengers were. And I believe there were 200 people on the train, 140 of them were seriously injured, and there were something like 18 deaths. I could be wrong on that now, but it was catastrophic. It was definitely one of the worst train accidents we've had since I've been out here, for sure.
And I wanted to talk about that, Phil, because I know that when we're talking about spirituality, this is one of the things that people have the hardest time wrapping their mind around is, well, if there's a God and if there's some sense of divine love and wisdom, why do things like this happen? Why would a divine and just God let something like this happen? So I want to address that. And if you're wrestling with that and other philosophical issues, or you have a question in your own life, maybe you want to understand where you're sabotaging your personal happiness, or you're sabotaging your growth, or more information about your life purpose, or you want to understand the spiritual underpinnings to some challenge that you're going through, that's why The Wild Woman is on the air. I want you to call me at 877-520-1150. Again, the hotline here is 877-520-1150. And, you know, Phil, one of the really interesting things about the comings and goings on the planet Earth, and I know that this is a concept that a lot of people have a very difficult time wrapping their mind around, there's an idea in spirituality that we choose the time and the place and the circumstances of when we leave the planet. And I know a lot of people are probably listening to this and saying, well, why would anybody choose to be on that plane, on that train? Why would anybody choose to be on a plane on 9/11? Why would anyone choose to be near Mount St. Helens when it blew its top? why would anybody choose this? Why would anybody choose to incarnate during a time of war and be a part of the military? Why would anybody choose that? And the first thing that I want to say in the bigger picture, and again, I understand that this is a very difficult concept for a lot of people to wrap their minds around, but I'm asking you to just consider the possibility. And just consider it and see where considering it takes your nervous system. Does it bring you to a more expansive place? Does it bring you to a place of greater relief? Does it bring you to a place of confusion? Does it bring you to a place of greater understanding? To just consider, when I share with you this information, just consider its effect on your nervous system. The first thing that's important for us to remember when we consider these things is that no one dies. And I know you're thinking, well, you know, Phil just said that the death count right now in this train accident is at least 18 and is probably going to rise. And when I say nobody dies, I don't mean that their physical body fails to succumb. What I'm saying is that they are not their physical body. And that after their physical body has served its purpose, they continue to live. And when we consider the comings and goings on the planet Earth, and we consider that nobody dies, and people come and go at opportune times that accentuate their growth, that brings open a whole different level of conversation and consideration about these kind of events. And I want people to consider what came to mind when they saw the story about the train wreck on the news, when they heard about the fireman on the train. He was on the train, he was a passenger on the train, and after the train accident, he participated with the other fire workers, the other firemen, to help evacuate and remove people from the wreckage. I want people to consider that people choose the experiences that they do because there are larger implications. And one of the things that I find particularly moving, and I think brought a lot of people to tears and touched a lot of people when they watched this story on the news, is the immediacy with which people responded to this accident. The immediacy of not only the professional emergency team people, but the laymen, the people in the neighborhood, how quickly they came out. And what you'll notice is that they all worked as one to help focus on one purpose, and that's the preservation of life. So if somebody's life was coming to an end, they had gotten everything they needed to out of this life, and they were getting ready to exit the planet, why would they choose to go out in a way like this? Maybe because they wanted their exit to be part of an event that brought everybody together. Maybe because they wanted their exiting of the planet to be something that reminded people about how precious life is and to not take it for granted. Maybe they wanted their exiting of the planet to be something that reminded all of us that there are more important things than Fannie Mae, CNN, how big our butt is getting, whether our kids are dating somebody that has body piercings and tattooings, that there's something bigger going on collectively with all of us than the mundane things that seem to normally get our attention and to pull on us. Maybe there's something larger that invites us to participate and show up as a collective group that values human life and considers the importance of supporting each other unconditionally to be the most important event in this moment in their life. And when you do that, what you'll find is that you become like the eye in the hurricane. How many times have you heard stories about people that were in accidents, or they, like this fireman that was in the train wreck that got out to help other people, that said that they didn't occur to them what they were going through, that they were very calm and they were very clear about what needed to be done and what actions needed to be taken, and they were just showing up, and it was afterwards that they let the second wall of that hurricane hit them and move them into the frenzy. It was after the event that they got shook up or they decompressed, but in the moment, they were in that space of peace where there was no agitation, where there was a light of day that penetrated through this chaos around them, that told them what to do, when to do it, and how to be there. That's what happens when we listen to our spiritual identity. And when we listen to our spiritual identity, we'll know it because we're always in the eye of the storm. We're not the debris flying around. We're not the armbands carrying the wind and the rain, picking up every benign thing and sending it around in our life like it's some kind of loaded missile. We're the center, where the light can make it through, where there's a calmness, where there's a stillness, where there's a clarity, where there's a sacred place of absolute safety. So one of the things I wanted to address in today's show is not why do bad things happen to good people, because we all get the whole of life. We all get agitated. We all get depressed. We all get angry. We all get everything. Not why do bad things happen to good people, but how do good people respond to bad things when they happen? And I know that in light of the events that happened this week, the hurricane in Texas and the people that showed up to be of support and to rescue the people that were in need there, and this horrific train accident in Southern California, that what you can really see is how do good people respond to challenging events when they happen. And I know this is a big philosophical point of contention for a lot of people, and I couldn't imagine a better example in our everyday life than we can all relate to than this example of this is really what it's about, not why do bad things happen to good people or why do good things happen to bad people, but how do good people respond to bad things when they happen, and how they respond to them is that they pull together as one. And it doesn't get better than that. So again, I want to remind you that if you have a philosophical question for the Wild Woman, you are welcome to call in today at 877-520-1150. Again, the hotline to the Wild Woman is 877-520-1150. And I have something of a more trivial note to share with you, but certainly nonetheless titillating. I have these exciting purple Beyond Karma Queen bumper stickers. Why? Because I'm the Beyond Karma Queen of radio and literature. That's why I'm the author of You Are What You Love and the newly released Wisdom Rising. And you can learn more about them by going to my website, Purple V, or going to Amazon.com. And if you come to Purple V, V as in Violet, you can join me in the chat room. We've already got a lively crowd here, and you're welcome to join me in the chat room at purplev.com. In the lower right-hand corner, you'll see a little button that says VChat. Click on that. Or when you come to purplev.com, V as in Violet, there's a pull-down menu that says Community. Click on that until you come to Subscribe. And if you click on that, you can send me an email. And you can say, Wild Woman, I want a purple bumper sticker. I want a Beyond Karma Queen bumper sticker. Or if you call in today at 877-520-1150, I'm happy to bless you with your own purple Beyond Karma bumper sticker. And let me tell you, it doesn't get better than that. 877-520-1150. So you can call in and ask me a question, and we'll send you a purple Beyond Karma Queen bumper sticker. Or if you want to go to my website, purplev.com, and you can click on Community and the pull-down menu Community and click on Subscribe. And when you subscribe, we will send you your own Beyond Karma Queen purple bumper sticker. Also, when you come to purplev.com, you'll notice that there's a V's Favorite Links. And on V's Favorite Links, you will find the link to YouTube. And there I have a number of videos. I have a number of videos on my website. But on youtube.com, I have a number of videos. And there's also the Longinus, book one of the Merlin Factor, flash animation trailer on youtube.com/purplehazepress. But you don't have to remember that. All you have to remember is come to purplev.com and click on V's favorite links, and you'll find it there. You'll also find Stephen Main's link there, and you will also find the link to Mellon Thomas. And Mellon Thomas has been on my show before. He appears at the end of chapter 8 in my book. He's a man who died for over an hour and a half. That's right. You didn't hear that incorrectly. That's exactly what I said. The man died for over an hour and a half and then came back. And he's written a book called Journey Through the Light and Back. And you can go to my website, purplev.com, and click on the Listening Lounge and go to the 51008 show. Download it for free and listen to that show with Mellon Thomas. But the link to his site is there. And I know that I see we're also joined in the chat room by the fabulous Empress of the Known and Unknown Universe. And her website link is also on V's favorite link. She is probably one of the most gifted psychic mediums it's ever been my honor to know. She's also her own radio show hostess. And if you would like to contact her, all you need to know is go to purplev.com and go to V's favorite links. So let me ask you something, Phil. Since you've moved back to L.A., do you miss the hurricanes?
Oh, God, no. No, not at this point. I miss the waves that the hurricane brought, but no.
Yeah, it is rather dramatic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, when I was living on the beach, it would be fun to watch storms come in, but hurricanes, there's just too much to deal with. I mean, it is what happens over the last few days is really traumatic. And it's easy to forget that it is, you know.
You know, they say that more people have died from hurricanes than from any other natural disaster.
Is that right?
Well, I had a number of lives in Pompeii, and considering the fact that I died when that sucker blew last, it's hard for me to imagine. But it goes to speak for the statistics that more people have died in hurricanes than any other natural disaster, how profoundly devastating they are. And you haven't had your first earthquake yet, have you, darling?
We had a small one a few weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And how was that for you?
Interesting. I was working in the building, and when I realized it was happening, I kind of walked out into the hall, and people were just starting to really freak out when it stopped, you know? It was one of those. But the building shook, and what really blew me away was how long it took the building to settle afterwards. Like, you just feel this, like, swaying back and forth for, you know, it was for a couple minutes, I guess, you know? Thankfully, I guess the buildings are made to do that, it was more entertaining than anything else. Like, I really am a little bit afraid of going through a big one.
You know, I think why it's so discombobulating for you is not only was it your first, but there's an illusion that we think that buildings and the earth is static.
Mm-hmm.
And when you find out that it's not, that it's in flux and it's in motion like everything else, that any type of stability that you can cling to in your own life has to come internally because the outer world will not provide it. That is a little discombobulating for people. But I'm glad that it was just a mild shaker for you, honey.
Yeah, it was an introduction.
Yes, and may that be all that you ever have to go through in your life. But I've been through so many, I got to tell you, I really enjoy sidewalk surfing. That's what I call earthquakes. And I want to thank you so much, sweetheart, for sharing with us your perspective. And next time there's a hurricane, all I can say is, if I go out for Chinese food, I'm taking you with me.
Sounds good. Thanks for talking.
That way I know I'll come back in one piece. I want to remind our listening audience that if you've just joined us, you're listening to You Are What You Love. And I'm Washali, the wild child of the airwaves. And I'm the author of You Are What You Love and my newly released book, Wisdom Rising. And you can learn more about my book by coming to my website, purplev.com. V is in Violet, V is in Washali. Join me online in the chat room. And I see that we've got Sandra on line one, and she's in Santa Clarita. Sandra, are you there, my darling?
Yes, I am. and peace and love to you.
Peace and love and light to you, my beloved angel. How can I be of service to you this evening, my darling?
I spoke with you a while back, but this is about something. It's about myself for a change. I've been recovering for over 22 years, and have my ups and downs, but I've always, you know, picked myself up and gone forward. And I remember as a really little child, always knowing about my own spirituality and how I related to life and to, you know, and to the earth and to plants and everything. And I've always been going in that direction, but now I'm at a point where I'm holding myself back, and I don't know why. I don't know which way to go, and I've gone through hell and back a couple of times, and I have survived, and not just survived, but I tried to make myself better. But I want to be of service above all, and I really don't know which way to go. So please, any advice?
Okay, sweetheart, when you say that you're recovering?
Yes, alcoholic.
Okay. And how long have you been in recovery?
Oh, gosh, last February 11th, it was 22 years.
Okay, so you've got some mileage on that one, girlfriend.
Yeah, and I've had a few breakdowns along the way, but I did not drink. I just, you know, learned from my experiences and, you know, I've done my best not to repeat them.
Bless you, darling, because that's life is a series of expansion and contraction, like breathing. When we breathe in, we expand, and when we exhale, we contract, and the universe expands and contracts, and our life expands and contracts. It's a natural momentum of something that's living and breathing. So God bless you, sweetheart. When the expansion and contraction came, you chose something else to give your free will and your attention to. One of the things I want to say, sweetheart, is anytime I hear so that somebody is dealing with recovery from the alcohol substance, the first thing that I want to say, and I go into great detail about this in my first book, You Are What You Love. Not that Wisdom Rising isn't also a very exciting read. It is, of course, being the self-promotional hoe that I am. I got to get that in.
Go for it, girl.
Thank you, Angel. But one of the things that I talk about a lot in my first book, You Are What You Love, is that there are certain pitfalls that every single human being has to extricate themselves from. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how many breast implants you've had. I don't care what kind of car you drive. I don't care how many kids you have or who you're married to. Everybody has to extricate themselves from certain pitfalls, certain potholes, certain...
vulnerabilities.
Certain tar babies.
Yeah, weaknesses, I call them, you know.
And the first one is the ego telling us that we didn't do it right.
Yeah.
And we're not good enough.
Yeah.
And that is absolutely, if I were to epitomize what is behind every single person that is suffering from alcoholism, they are suffering from the didn't do it right, not good enough disease.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
That's what holds that bitch together.
Oh, yeah. And it was a lot of effort for me to keep getting my ego subdued. Had to beat that sucker down. And I try to keep it in check as much as possible. You know, I realize that for me, my survival depends on humility. I must... And so now I know I need some self-discipline. But I don't know where, how, you know, which way to go. I know I need that, and that's what I want. You know, I want to learn more.
Right. And this is what I want to say that I was getting about your life, Sandra, because it makes sense that you know, you've had 20 plus years of sobriety behind you, because the didn't do it right, not good enough. What it does is it destroys our sense of value in ourselves and in our life, and it disempowers us. And what this part of your path of your life is about right now is about personal empowerment. And the fastest way to personal empowerment is to understand that you, Sandra, my love, don't have divine love and wisdom. You are it. And no one and no thing on this planet has the power to change that. And everything that you're creating is exactly what you need when you need it in the next life purpose lesson to say, can you be love now? Can you hold your power as love now, or will you let the temporal world take it from you? Can you be love now, or does the temporal world have more power and the ability to strip you of it? Can you do it now? Can you do it now? This is a place where we learn how to be love unconditionally, because God knows every single frickin' condition under the sun is gonna hit you.
No kidding. My mom and my grandma, I remember when I was a little girl, then both of them saying, it's not what happens to you in life, it's how you deal with it. It's how handle it. It's what you make of it, So I'm Pollyanna, and I always have been. I'm basically a very happy person. I sleep wonderful. I wake up happy, and I'm grateful, and I'm thankful, and that makes me happy. And I know that, but I'm just like, I don't know. I'm holding myself back, and I don't know why. I don't know.
Because it's about owning your power, sweetheart. When you hold yourself back, there's a modicum of internal dialogue that's telling you you don't have the power to do it. And that's why you're holding yourself back, to protect yourself, to insulate yourself. This is about you saying, you know what? I'm cleansing myself of any inner dialogue that does not acknowledge my personal power. It's not really in the outer world. Everybody thinks it's about the outer world. What am I doing here? What am I doing there? The outer world isn't really the issue. The outer world is going to organize itself according to your inner world. What this is really about for you, Sandra, is where are you giving away your power, and where are you not making this present moment about you enjoying the expression, the embodiment, and the sharing of your personal power as divine love. That's what it's about. It's not about the outer world. Don't make it about the outer world.
No,
it's going to come and go.
I can live with that. I'm at peace within myself, but yet I know that there's more for me to do, and I've had a lot of burdens, and a lot of family crises, and a lot of losses, and more than I can mention. I'm taking care of my parents right now. They're in their 80s, and as time goes on, I guess I'm prepared for the inevitable. But
your power is that you can show up in this moment and be a force of love and recognize that your parents are not their bodies, they're not their packaging, they're in their power, and you are absolutely inspired and excited to share this moment with them because you know that love never dies.
Oh, no, and but yet, they want me so much to, go forward for myself, and I'm worried.
And
about
going forward, let's define what going forward for yourself means. It's about owning your personal empowerment, girlfriend. It's about embodying your personal power. So what I want you to do when you're looking at the outer world is I'm gonna ask you to look internally and ask you how this feels to you. Do you feel that this is something that is cultivating your personal empowerment? That do you feel that this is about showing up as a force of love, or do you feel that this is about performing stupid human tricks? I want you to look at this in relationship.
Having dual diagnosis, a minor chemical imbalance. I've been under control for 7 years wonderfully, and I'm becoming involved as a peer advocate, and to help other people with dual diagnosis. The chemical dependency, and
Don't worry about that. The planet is bipolar too. The planet is bipolar too. Don't worry about that.
Oh, I'm not. I know. I'm actually. I feel fortunate that I am different, because I look at Michelangelo and Da Vinci and Aristotle. Go on back. They all had their little quirks, but that those are the ones who contributed the most to life life here on this earth. And that's what I want. I want to help others who feel lost and alone.
When you're looking at something that's coming up, sweetheart, I want you, that's your empowerment, is to show up as a force of love that shares that type of clarity in the embodiment of healing and wholeness and honoring the divinity in others. So what I want you to do, sweetheart, when you're looking at things that are coming down your way and looking at options, I want you to register them on your inner feeling weighing system. How does this feel as far as honoring, empowering you? And yeah. I want you to look at it from that perspective first and then line up your outer ducks in a row. But this is really, if I were to give you a gauge, if I was to give you a secret decoder ring, if there was a secret decoder ring, there isn't, but if I were to give you one,
okay,
it would be looking at this from how this relates to you sharing what empowers you personally. And you just, I just heard you say what it was. The sharing and being with people. So I want you to look at that as really, this is really about your next phase in recovering from the didn't do it right, not good enough disease.
Yeah.
Is owning your power, embodying it, and sharing it. So this is all about personal empowerment. Now, if I want you to walk away with any two words, girlfriend, when we hang up, it's personal empowerment. Okay?
I feel that.
And I want you, feel free to give me a call and let me know what's coming down the pike with you, Sandra.
Okay. I know I need discipline, but I've got some ideas right now in my head.
Honey, focus on how this is relating to your personal empowerment, and that's all the discipline that you need. That'll take you there.
Yeah, that's you know,
that's the best place to start.
I'm trying to overcome my faults and strengthen my weaknesses.
See, this is a didn't do it right, not good enough stuff. Honey, the only fault that you have is the belief that you've got faults. Let it go. You can't create a learning experience you don't need. And you are a force of love, and no one and no thing can change that. Okay, girlfriend?
You're right.
That's my story about you, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Angel. Be well. Be blessed.
Peace and love and health.
And Cynthia, I see you there. And, sweetheart, we're not going to have enough time in the show to get to you. Please, I want to encourage you to call me next week or email me, and I'll be happy to get into your life purpose and your career. We've got just a few minutes left, and I want to bring on Julia, the Empress of the Known and Unknown Universe. Empress, my darling.
Yes, I was so thrilled to hear that Elliot was okay. Validation. You know, I love getting validation because I was sending out all kinds of prayers and energy his way. I sent Antari with a huge roll of duct tape.
Thank you.
And I just want to let your listeners know that if they haven't read Wisdom Rising yet, then you're missing out on a great read, pal. I'm telling you. It keeps calling to me. I have it locked in my closet downstairs because they keep saying, Julia, come one more chapter. You know you want to. You know you want to. No, you don't have to do the housework. Come and read me. Read me. I love it.
Thank you so much, sweetheart. You know any book I write would be screaming, take me, take me.
Oh, I won't tell you. This is, honey, it's like the few chapters I have because I've, flipped through it. I was reading when I got it in the mail. I was on my way out downtown, so I was reading some of it, on the bus, and I just cracked up laughing out loud. And everybody was looking, what are you reading?
Don't you love the cartoons? Each chapter starts with a cartoon.
I love the cartoons, but this is, what I did get because I kind of, skipped around to because I wanted to read about, Oscar.
We got 1 minute, sweetie.
And everything, but I just want to let everybody know that that book just kicks behind, okay? And
thank you.
Get a copy today. Get two, get three.
And you've been listening to Julia Cole. She's the Empress of the Known and Unknown Universe. Her website has just been unveiled. Go to Julia K, K as in kangaroo, JuliaKCole.com to learn more about the Empress. Thank you so much for coming on, honey, and blessing my book.
Okay, honey. Take care. Bye-bye.
You be well. Give Antari my love. And I want to remind our listening audience, you've been listening to You Are What You Love, and I'm Washali, the Wild Child. My website is Purple V. V is in Violet. V is in Washali, purplev.com. You can order my new book, Wisdom Rising, from the website. You can order it from Amazon.com. Comment in the website, Purple V, click on Community, and then the pull-down menu will take you to Subscribe, and I will send you a Purple Beyond Karma Queen to those who subscribe. And Cynthia and Sandra, email me, V as in Violet, V@PurpleV.com, so I can send you a Beyond Karma Queen sticker. And until we do it again next week, rock on, babies.
You've been listening to You Are What You Love with author Washali. to order Vaishali's book, You Are What You Love, or to schedule a private self-emergent session with Vaishali, visit youarewhatyoulove.com. Thanks for joining us, and remember, you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. So love wisely.